says, by this, that we overcome the world by faith. And so when we get away from faith, it's easy to get overcome. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Did you know it's a fight? You have to fight against unbelief. You have to fight against doubt. You have to fight against what you see, what you hear, all the things around you that's lying to you. You have to fight against those things. But faith will cause you to see. How many knows faith gives you eyes to see? The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith causes you to hear. The Bible says by the hearing of faith that that miracles are done and signs and wonders and things like this happens by the hearing of faith. So faith hears, faith sees. But it sees in the spiritual realm, and it causes us to know the things that God has for us. Glory to God. But if you're a victim is one who has been victimized by someone else, someone who has fallen prey to a criminal or one who does evil. A victim, you know, have you ever seen anybody that had a victim mentality? That no matter what happened, they was always the victim, even though they might have been the one that caused the problem. They were the victim. You know, they've been victimized. But how many knows that when you are living by faith, you refuse to be a victim? David refused to be a victim. When the lion and the bear took one of his sheep, he refused to be a victim of that lion, and he rose up against that thing. And this is one of the points I want you to get tonight. No matter where you're at in life today, no matter what's happening to you, do not allow yourself to become a victim. But no matter what kind of battle you're facing, if you will have a victor mentality that comes from God, no matter what you face or how bad the problem is, you can overcome. I mean, David, if you think about it, when him and his men were out in battle and they came back and that they had come in and taken their wives and their children and all the things they had and taken them captive, how many knows that would have been easy to have been a victim? As a matter of fact, his men were crying and weeping so hard, and it said they were talking about stoning David. I mean, if anybody would have had an opportunity, he could have had a pity party. He could have been saying, everybody's against me. I've been trying to do right. Our wives and children have been taken. And, you know, here we are. We're victims. And he could have just laid down and cried too. But you know what? David refused to be a victim because he had already had the anointing in his life. He had already had been in faith a few times. And he'd seen what happened. He realized that if you won't give up, you'll win. And so whenever that happened, he went to the priest and he said, ask God if we shall pursue or not. And he said, pursue and you shall recover all. And so David pursued after the enemy, and they recovered their wives, their children, and the Bible said that they even took all the stuff that their enemies had. And instead of being the victim, they become the victor. Glory to God. How many wants to be a victor tonight? Well, you know, it doesn't just happen by accident. It's just not the luck of the draw. It's not just something that you're just lucky and everything happens for you in the good. But a victor is somebody who makes up their mind that I am not going to be victimized. I'm going to win. I'm going to overcome because God is on my side. Glory to God. When you're in faith, you're in God's favor. Glory to God. Have you ever prayed and said, God, forgive me of my sins, forgive me of this or forgive me of that, and then sometimes you go back and you're not sure he forgave you, so you go back and start praying it again, say, God, forgive me, and you're praying a prayer you've already prayed before, but somehow or another you're just thinking in your mind, maybe he didn't forgive me or something. But you know what? The Lord showed me something about that. That how many knows that when you really are praying and you're asking God to forgive you, the way that you can tell that you've accepted that forgiveness is you go forward. You get up and you dust yourself off and you begin to go forward. You just put that behind you and you go on. Faith is going to take you forward. faith will cause you to quit, you know, wallowing in self-pity and wallowing in all these things that maybe you've done and brought on yourself. But when you get up and you dust yourself off and you start going forward, that's a sign that you have accepted it by faith. Glory to God. I remember when I first got saved. I mean, I had rededicated my life to God back several years ago. And when I was 18, I really had an experience with God where I really genuinely got born again. But some things happened, and a couple years later, I backslid. Went back into sin, went back into drugs and all that stuff. Well, 4 years later, I come back and rededicated my life to God. Well, something, the enemy was just gnawing at me like, God didn't forgive you. And I'd go to God and I'd start praying again. God, forgive me. But I couldn't just accept it that I was forgiven. Because I'd done everything I knew to do to rededicate my life to God. And so then, when I started praying like that, the Lord spoke to me. I don't know how I heard Him, but somehow I heard the Lord. And He said, what would you do if you believed that I had forgiven you? And I thought about it for a second. I think I'd been listening to R.W. Schambach on radio. He was always good about talking about faith and about stepping out in faith. And so he said, what would you do if you knew I had forgiven you? I said, well, I guess I would jump up in the air and kick my feet together and say, praise the Lord. And so all at once it just dawned on me. I said, I'm forgiven. So I jumped up and kicked my feet together. And I said, praise the Lord, I'm forgiven. And you know what? From then on, I didn't have no problem believing I was forgiven. I just started acting like I was forgiven. I said, okay, if I'm forgiven, I got to go to church. I got to worship God. I got to be a witness for God. I got to pray for the sick. I got to cast out devils. I mean, I just started going forward because I believed that I was forgiven. And I've seen people do that many times when they would struggle and they can't seem to get back in the flow of things because they keep going over and over something instead of just going forward out of that situation they were in. And so I seen a man at the altar one night, and he was praying after this had happened to me. And he was praying, and he was a backslider. And he was down there, and he just kept praying and praying. About 30 minutes, he was at that altar. And I was standing there, and all at once the Lord said, he's a backslider. He said, he's waiting till he feels something before he believes he's forgiven. And I just reached down, and I said, are you a backslider? And he said, yeah. I said, the Lord told me that if you will just accept it and lift up your hands right now and believe He's forgiven you, you'll be forgiven. And all at once, that man, he shot his arms up in the air. He jumped up. Tears started flowing down his face. And he knew he was forgiven. But see, he couldn't seem to accept it. See, and that's what faith will do. Faith will cause you to get up and go forward. And it'll cause you to overcome some things that have been trying to pull you back and trying to destroy you. Glory to God. Faith is revealed in your attitude or in your motivation. There are several things that happens when you're walking in faith. And one of them is it gives you motivation. It gives you motivation. It changes your attitude. It causes you to see things differently. It causes you to have a desire to press forward. A lot of times when you get weary and you're tired and you want to give up, it's because you're getting out of faith. See, faith is actually a life. Faith is a life. It's the spirit of faith is a life on the inside of us. Whenever we allow this life to take over our life, it's actually the faith of Jesus Christ. And whenever He's living through us, when we're letting His faith live through us, all the things that He done at Calvary, the finished work of Calvary is immediately real in our life. It's a reality. When the Bible says that Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. When he said, I am crucified with Christ, he wasn't saying, I have attained to this. He wasn't saying, by the law, I've worked at it really hard, and I've come to the place to where I'm crucified. What he was saying was, I was crucified when Jesus was crucified. The Bible said that when we were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into his death, that as he was raised up from the dead, even so should we walk in newness of life. And how many knows that it's imputed to us? His righteousness becomes our righteousness. And the reality of it is, I am crucified. When I am in faith, I am crucified to my old life. Now I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's a reality. See, this is where we make a mistake at. Sometimes we as church people, we think we have to attain to this. We think that it's something we got to work at really hard to get to this place to where we're crucified with Christ, to where he's living on the inside. But no, the reality of it is we are already crucified. We are already a new man in Christ Jesus. We already are the healed of God. We already are the favored of God. We already are the blessed of God. It's already it's a reality. But see, there's a fight for reality. The devil is fighting for reality to try to cause you to see things in a different viewpoint. You know, it's like he tries, you know, you're looking at something and the enemy is trying to tell you that this is not real. You can't believe the Bible. You can't really believe what the Word of God says. You know, you got to go by how you feel. But it's not by feelings, but it's by faith. Glory to God. Right now, you are a new creature. You know, if it ever dawns on us just what Jesus done for us at Calvary, if it dawns on us, the revelation of that comes into our heart, and the reality of that happens to us all at once, when we realize we have authority over the devil, it's already a fact. We can't attain to it. We can't work for it. It's been given to us. He said, in my name, you go in my name and you cast out the devil. And so it means that we have to, by faith, we have to accept it and believe it. And we have to press our way into it. There's something about, even though it's a reality, sometimes we're not walking in it. You know, even though you are crucified with Christ, even though you have been raised with Christ, even though you are the healed of God, we must possess our possessions. We have to press in and lay hold on it by faith and begin to take hold of it. See, when you begin to press after, go after God and live by faith and hold on to the Word of God, you can possess it. But you have to press in. You can't allow yourself to be pushed back. Glory to God. You know, sometimes we have trouble hearing from God because we're hearing too much other noise. How many knows that? Have you ever been trying to talk to somebody in a room where there was a loud noise and you're saying, what? What? It seems like the older I get, the harder I am of hearing. But anyways, if you're in a place where loud noise, sometimes you have to say, let's get out of here. Go outside where we can hear each other, you know. Well, sometimes there's noise we don't realize is really noise. Like, did you know your mind can create noise? Like, if you've got some kind of problem in your life or something troubling you, it's like noise. It's like it gets in your mind, and it's like you're trying to hear from God, but while you're trying to hear from God, all at once you're hearing this noise of this trouble or this problem that you're going through in your life, or your kids are going through, or somebody else is going through, and it's like a noise in your mind trouble, problems, cares. Not only that, but lust for other things. Hobbies, pleasures, all these things, they can become noahs to us. It's like it can be something that, you know, it's like I've always been like kind of like a one-track mind person. You know, if I got my mind on something, it's hard to think about something else because I guess I'm a little weak-minded or something. I don't know. But anyways, whenever I get my mind on something, it's like I got a one-track mind. And so I have to be careful because sometimes I get my mind on something and I get my mind off of hearing God. And so, but what I'm saying is, when you shut down the noise, it's easier to hear from God. And see, the devil knows this, and so what he tries to do, he tries to create so much havoc in our life and things around us to cause us to not hear. And sometimes, I mean, a lot of times it's our own thought life that's creating the most noise. What we're thinking about is creating noise in our mind, and it causes us to have a problem hearing from God. When you're walking in the spirit of faith, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. When you're walking in faith, you're an overcomer. You're taking ground spiritually. You're forgiven. You're healed. You're favored of God. All things work for your good. All sin is overcome. You can do all things through Christ that loves you. You are love. You are prosperous. You are a giver. Faith will make you fight. Faith will make you fight. See, we can't get too much faith. How many knows you can't get too much? The stronger your faith becomes in God, the more it causes you to become a conqueror and a fighter. And then this, the Bible said in the last days, people would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And see, and we're living in the last days right now. We're living in a time when people are giving heed to seducing spirits, and it's leading them away from faith and leading them into false doctrines and things that fairy tales and all kind of things that really don't, you know, self-help stuff and positive thinking and all kind of new age things that people do that to take the place of faith. And there again, faith will cause you to be positive. Faith will cause you to see things from a positive light. But the thing of it is, it's possible to be caught up in just being trying to be a positive person and thinking positive all the time and get away from God. But God is a positive God. Because, see, I know people, but you know one of the things I found out? That you can only be positive for so long without God. You really can only be, you can talk yourself, oh yes, glory to God, everything's going to be wonderful. But if you ain't serving God, eventually your positive thinking will start reducing down more and more and more. And after a while, you know, you'll throw it out the back door. But when you're living for God by faith, it's going to cause us to see things from a different perspective. David, whenever he went out against Goliath, he had an expectancy. He had already learned that if he obeyed God and if he was walking in faith, that he could do whatever God wanted him to do. And, you know, when we know that God wants us to do something, if he tells you to go witness to somebody, you know, there's something about obeying God that feeds your soul. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He said, I have meat to eat that you don't even know about. And they said, what meat do you have? And he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Faith will do the will of God. Faith will slay a giant. Faith will cause you to face a giant in your life. Unbelief and doubt will cause you to run and hide. But faith will cause you to face up to things and go forward. Glory to God. How many wants to go forward? We got to go forward in God because we can't go back. There's nothing back there. All there is we must go forward. But faith will cause you to go forward. Faith will cause you to walk in the love of God. And you know, I woke up this morning and I was laying in bed and I was thinking about the love of God. That the one thing that God wants in our life is He wants His love. He wants us to walk in His love and to love people and to love God. And I was thinking about, you know, if you love God, have you ever thought, well, I just want to give something to God. I want to bless God. What can I do to bless God? What can I do to give something to God? Did you know that when you love people and you show love to people, you're showing love to God? Because Jesus said, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And He said that there was going to be a time when people would say, you know, I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was in prison and you didn't visit me. And they said, well, when did we not do that, Lord? He said, when you did it to the least of them, you did it not unto me. And so I was thinking about that and I was thinking, Lord, I want to be able to show love towards you. And He said, show love toward people. When you show love toward people, when we realize that we're doing it to God, I mean, it brings something special to it when you realize that you're giving something back to Him. You know, when we give a love offering, when we give money, those things like that, we give it to people and help somebody. You know, it's actually causing you to, you're giving something back to God. And faith will cause you to give back to God what He's wanting. When Abel and Cain brought their sacrifices to God, Cain brought the sacrifice of the field. I mean, he looked around, I'm sure, and said, what's the best thing I can give him? I'm going to give him this watermelon right here. You know, this is a good watermelon. I'm going to give it to him. But then Cain, Abel was of faith. Faith showed him what God wanted. And he knew that it was a lamb. It had to be a lamb, a spotless lamb. And so he took that lamb and sacrificed it to God. And when he did, God told Cain, he said, I've accepted Abel's sacrifice, but Cain's I've rejected. And Cain became angry. And he said that Abel had offered by faith what God wanted. And see, so faith will cause us to give to God what He's wanting us to give Him. But unbelief will cause us to give Him something He really don't want. He really wasn't wanting a watermelon. You know, He was wanting that lamb because that lamb represented Christ. Glory to God. But faith will cause you to be a victor. In 1 John 5:4, it says, faith overcomes the world. Glory to God. So, tonight, if there's one thing I could say, let me read this verse right here. Look with me in Joshua chapter 1. In verse 5. It says, in verse 4, well, let's read verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. But I wanted you to see this, where he told Joshua, he said, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. Did you know that faith gives you courage? I remember this preacher named Brother Ledger. He held a revival for us one time years ago, and we had a baby that died in the service, and he was dead for three minutes, and then God raised him back from the dead, and the boy lived. He's still alive today. But he was preaching for us, and he said, faith is 90% courage and 10% all that other stuff. And so courage, faith gives you courage. If we're afraid, it means that we need more faith. If we get full of fear, it means we're not full of faith. And so it means we need to get away from the fear and begin to focus on faith. But he said, I will never leave them. Now, if we think about that for a second, I believe that what God said to Joshua, he says to us tonight, I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee. I will be with you, and I'll help you. And so if we have that promise from God, then whatever we face in life, whatever comes up, immediately we realize God's with me, he has not forsaken me, and I'm not going to be a victim, I'm going to be a victor. How do you want me to do this, Lord? See, that's what David said. David asked the priest, he said, what shall I do? Shall I pursue? And he said, yes, pursue. So see, when you're in a situation and you don't know what to do, just go to God and say, God, what do you want me to do in this situation here? But one thing, remember, you're not a victim, you're a victor. That God is with you, and he's not against you, and he's for you. Glory to God. And the more that we walk in faith and the more that we trust in him, the more we're going to see victory in our lives. Glory to God. And you're not a victim, you're a victor. Glory to God. How many believes you're a victor tonight? You're the righteousness. As a matter of fact, the Bible said we are the righteousness of God by faith. That means when I'm walking by faith, I'm the righteousness of God. When I'm walking by faith, and you know what that means? That means that when God looks at me, he looks at me just like Jesus. When you're walking in faith and you're walking in the Spirit of God, when God looks at you, he sees you just like it was Jesus. And you think, well, man, I know Jesus got his prayers answered. And if he could get his prayers answered, and I'm the righteousness of God by faith, that means that when I go to God, there should be a courage, there should be a boldness rise up on the inside of me. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Glory to God. So that means you got to go boldly to God. Not just halfway, but you got to go boldly. Faith will make you go boldly. Glory to God. I remember years ago, I was in the bedroom praying. Hadn't been saved too long. And I was saying, oh Lord, I just want to come into your presence. Lord, I just want to come into your presence. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, come on. He said, I'm not stopping you. And when I heard that, it was all at once something. I just saw this, that God wants me to come into his presence. I want to come into his presence. That means there's only one other person that don't want me in his presence, and that's the devil. And when I thought about that, all at once something on the inside of me just rose up, and it was just like I felt like Superman going into a phone booth and putting on his cape. And I come out, and I just went straight up I could see myself just going up into the heavens. And it was like the glory of God just came down in that bedroom that night. And my little girl, Stephanie, she come in there, and she was sick, and she'd hurt herself or something. And she said, Daddy, I'm hurt. I hurt my leg. Pray for me. And I just reached over and prayed for her, and immediately she got healed. And it was like I realized then that I could go into the presence of God anytime I wanted to, and that the thing that was trying to stop me was the devil. And so tonight, don't let anything stop you from coming to God, from coming into his presence and from seeking him. Don't be a victim, be a victor. You are a victor. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads tonight.